Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraw.
God has more of an agenda for your life than just to get you to heaven. God wants to use you as his ambassador until you breathe your last breath on this side of heaven. It means as you're living courageously, as you have compassion for the oppressed, as you're confronting the oppressor, as you're challenging people to repent, just trust God's timing, keep your composure. It's never gonna be your timetable.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraw, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Serving God's kingdom here on earth is the divine call of every Christian. Sometimes our understanding of this noble duty doesn't quite match up with what God has planned. So what does it really mean to advance the kingdom in the way God wants? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff gives us the biblical outline for what it takes to live a life of courageous kingdom advancement. And before we get started, if you ever miss any of these daily programs on the radio, you can always listen at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, continuing our study in Exodus, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message.
I've entitled this message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, because whether we're talking the Old Testament kingdom or whether we're talking the New Testament kingdom through the church where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What we see about God's kingdom, it's always on the offensive. So if we want to know what God is up to, we need to look no further than to know that he wants to be glorified and he wants to use you to advance his kingdom so that more people will glorify him. So here's the first thing I'm going to unpack, because you need to know when God calls people to be courageous in advancing his kingdom, these are things that are true of all that God calls. And if you've repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, he's called you to himself. That's why you need to own these five truths as to how God advances his kingdom. And the first is this: courageous kingdom advancement occurs through called courageous warriors. There is a fight and a battle going on for your soul and for the soul of every single person that you will ever come into contact with. And what are we called to be? We're called to be warriors. We're never called anywhere in the Old or New Testament to be passive. Second is this: courageous kingdom advancement occurs through compassion for the oppressed. What does Moses have in his heart? He's got compassion for the people of Israel being slaves. They're enslaved. For 400 years, his people have been enslaved. Moses wants to see the people freed and wants to see them delivered. The longer you serve the Lord in whatever service or ministry he has for you, the more you'll want to see the people you're pouring into be set free. God's kingdom advances through called courageous warriors, through compassion for the oppressed. Now, this is the point that I'm going to talk about where some of you are going to be offended, but God advances his kingdom and it occurs through confronting the oppressor. It's one thing to see people oppressed and comfort and come alongside of them. It's another thing to go after the one that's causing the oppression. Pharaoh was destroying God's people and God didn't want his people destroyed. And God looks for a mouthpiece to stand up to all of that and say, this is wrong and you need to repent. Right? That's what's going on. So I have compassion for people that are getting hurt, but are also going to confront the oppressor, and we're not afraid of that in any way. Number four is this. I've already kind of addressed it. Courageous kingdom advancement occurs through challenging people to repent. Sharing the glory of God and allowing him to reveal himself to others causes people to repent. We need to call people to repentance. We're not just telling people, hey, trust Jesus. We want you to trust Jesus, but we want you to repent so that you can trust Jesus. Right? Lip service won't cut it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what as I say? Let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. And then fifth is this: courageous kingdom advancement occurs through confidence in God's timing. It's never gonna work on your timetable. I mean, Moses wanted to go to Pharaoh before the plagues even started and just see him turn, and that never even happened. Never gonna be your time. Just keep your composure. God's got his way. It's never gonna happen the way you want it to happen. Be comfortable with that, right? And that's what we're talking about. If you get these as a background, then we can go into what the plagues are. So here's what God is doing. Through these 10 plagues, God is going to expose an Egyptian god and show how he's greater than that god that they're serving. And because Pharaoh hardened his heart, now we get into the 10 plagues. We're gonna go through four of them today. The first is this: the Nile turns to blood. Why would God go after the Nile? Because the Nile was the central source of all of their economic engine. And what was God saying? He's saying, with one stretch of a hand through one of my servants, I can kill your economy in a moment. Worship me. You ever been to a place with dead fish? How about every fish being dead? All your drinking water is now totally polluted because God killed the economy with one strike, turned it to blood. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile, and 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. So what happens? Pharaoh's like, well, if I got people digging a trench and going outside and finding some cisterns and going under, I mean, we can still get some drinking water. We're going to be okay, and I don't really care about your God. The economy's going to be fine. We're going to bounce back. We'll be okay. That's all he was saying. Here's the question for you. How are you doing in your relationship with the Lord? Is Jesus Christ primary, or is the economy primary for you? That's what he was saying to Pharaoh. He was saying, I'm God over the economy. I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who does it. I'm the one who delivers. Because Pharaoh didn't listen, we go to plague number two, which is frogs in the land. Now, the next plagues is somebody that doesn't like to be outdoors in camp. These are hard for me. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. He's already told him that. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom and into your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. I mean, that'd be enough for me. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. You go to sleep at night, there's gonna be one coming out of your pillowcase. You go cook, there's one coming out of your bowl. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. They're gonna be at your feet while you're eating. They're gonna be coming out of the toilet when you go to the bathroom. There's frogs, frogs, frogs. And why was God talking about frogs? Because there was a frog god called Heket that was the god of fertility. It was a body with a frog head. It was the source of life, the giver of children. God wanted to tell, he was the giver of life. He's the giver of fruitfulness. God is the giver of legacy. God was saying, I'm greater than your God that you serve. So notice what he says in verse 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and makes frogs come out on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. I mean, stupid. I mean, it's like, don't you have enough frogs? Like, we can do that too. We'll make even more frogs. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may remove the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Even though his people could produce frogs, he's like, enough frogs. Just pray for me. So here's what Moses said. Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor's yours to tell me. When should I entreat the Lord for you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile? Hey, you want me to do this? Just tell me when you want me to do this, because I'm gonna tell the Lord when to do it, and he'll do it at the exact time that you tell me. And when he does it at the exact same time you tell me, then you'll know that he's the Lord. So you tell me when you want him to go. And Pharaoh answers and says, tomorrow. So he said, may it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They will be only left in the Nile. Then Moses and Aaron went out from the Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. Now notice this, Moses just didn't go out and pray and say, dear Lord, please remove the frogs. What's Moses doing? He's crying out to the Lord. Do you know why? Because he's begging God to work on his behalf. He's saying, God, I did what you wanted me to do. I want him to know that at the exact time that he said that it's you, I want you to get all the glory. Lord, I'm crying out for you. Could God not have just got rid of the frogs? Why didn't he? Because God chooses to use the prayers of his people to work his will. That's why we gather for prayer. That's why we ask God to move. Because God loves it when his people cry out to him. And they're crying out, and Moses is crying out, saying, he wants the frogs gone. God, be compassionate to him. Deliver him from the frogs. He's gonna let us go if you do that. That's what he says. So they cried out to the Lord. Verse 13, the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out in the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them up in heaps, and the land became foul. Can you imagine what that looked like? I don't like camping. And yet I'm picturing like piles of frogs the size of buildings just rotting. I mean, how awful is this? But notice Pharaoh. But when Pharaoh saw that there was no relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. There's a difference between repentance and relief. There's a difference between repentance and relenting. Relenting is, I know I did wrong. My situation's uncomfortable. God, have mercy on me. Take the pain away. I promise I won't do it anymore. It's the prayer you prayed in college on a Saturday morning when you prayed, Lord, if you just get me through this, I promise I will never have a Friday night like that again. It's the prayer you prayed before a test that you didn't study where you said, Lord, I promise you, if you get me through this test, from now on, I will always do this. You're praying for relief. You're not repentant about your actions that got you there. You're praying for relief, like relent, like make this better for me. That's all Pharaoh was saying. And how do you know? Because when circumstances change, you really learn the heart of a person. That's why Jesus said you need to bear with fruits in keeping with repentance. If somebody's truly repentant now, they'll be repentant in 5 days. They'll be repentant in 3 years. They'll still be repentant. They're changing. They're allowing God to lead them. If they're just looking for relief and they just want God to relent, they won't change once the circumstance changes. I was praying to the Lord. I came to Christ, but he hasn't really done anything for me anymore. And so I'm not really following him anymore. You never followed him in the first place. You were never a Christian. You just put some mambo jumbo religious dialogue into some prayer thinking that that would help you. And all you were looking for was relief. You weren't looking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going on with Pharaoh. So he hardens his heart. The waters turned to blood. He's had frogs all over his land and still nothing. Ready to go through a chapter really fast? Now he's gonna get gnats. Gnats is also the Hebrew word lice. I don't know whether it was gnats or lice, but I don't know which one I'd rather not have. They're both bad. So then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth that it may become gnats throughout all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. You ever seen gnats? You can't see them. You just kind of feel them or hear them, and then they go into your eye or they go into your mouth. Or just, can you imagine them every single place? Or if it's lice, what that would be like everywhere? It's disgusting. Now you get the idea that the magicians want to say, we can do that too, but notice what the magicians say. Verse 18, the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, another stupid move, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. So now the magicians are like, we can't do what's going on here. We're starting to realize this is a God-sized thing because we don't have the power to do what Moses and Aaron are doing. We're starting to believe this. But why gnats? Why lice? Well, there was a god in Egypt whose name was Set, S-E-T. He was the god of disorder, the god of the desert, the god of violence, the god of foreigners. He was the god that was in control of all nature. What was God trying to say? I'm in control of all natural things. I'm in control of all nature. I have the power of laws and order. Who's your god? You know what some of your god is? For some of you that are here that say, well, I'm a Christian, your God's the God of worry and fear every single day. Because if I don't worry and I don't live in fear, then something may go wrong. Something may not happen my way. So I'm gonna give my allegiance to the God of fear, and I'm gonna give my allegiance to the God of worry because something bad might happen. And even when good things are happening, you walk around like this. It's been pretty good. I wonder when the other shoe's gonna drop. Because that's your God. And God was saying, I'm the God who controls it all. You don't need to fear. I love you. I'm in control of all things. You don't need to fret. You don't need to worry. I'll be your God. He was showing them that. Who's your God? Is your God the God of fear and anxiety and how you have to protect your whole life? Or is your God the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he gets his fourth plague. As if the first four weren't bad enough, they just continue to plague us. Flies. Flies swarming. Notice what he says in verse 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. After the lice, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He did not listen to them as the Lord said. Now the Lord said to Moses, okay, now here's what I want you to do. Rise early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Fourth verse, same as the first. Sometimes oppressors need to hear things over and over and over. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of Egypt will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day, when I do this, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. So here's what God says. I'm gonna send swarms of flies. Now you talk about a fallen creature. You can talk about the fly. What does a fly eat? Garbage and feces. And then flies around and they make just buzzing sounds. And if there's only one or two in a room and they go to the light, I mean, it's just annoying. We invent things called fly swatters. Every time we see them, we wanna kill them. Can you imagine a world where flies are just everywhere? Like there's no relief from any of the flies anywhere. That's what's going on. Now, why flies? Well, because of one of the gods of Israel. I'm gonna spell it. I don't know if I can pronounce this word. It's U-A-T-C-H-I-T, 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 or something like this. He had a cobra body. He was the protector of the country, protector of Pharaoh, protector of other deities. Here's the question, who's your protector? Who's protecting you? Who's protecting your reputation? Who's protecting your influence? Who's protecting your money? For some of us, it's like, it's the government. It's their job to protect me. No, it's not. It's God's job to protect you. God is the one who comes through. God was saying, I'm the one who is the God who protects. So he sends all these flies, but he also makes a distinction here. With this one, here's what he says. From now on when I do it, my people aren't gonna experience any of the plagues. Your people will. I'm gonna draw a line right down the center so you will know, not only am I sending it, but I'm protecting my people from this plague. How many of you know God has the ability to protect his people from plagues that he sends? So many people worry about the end times. We talked about this when we went through the book of Revelation. God can protect his own even when he's pouring out wrath and punishing others. Isn't that good news? So that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna put a division. So verse 24, then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in the land of Egypt. So now Pharaoh's gonna call Moses and say to him, go sacrifice to your God within the land. Now here's how you know Pharaoh's not repenting, because people repent when they repent in the fullness of what God requires. What was the message? Let my people go that they may go into the wilderness and serve me. What's he saying now? Okay, I'll let them go, but they're not leaving the land. That wasn't the agreed upon thing. So Moses said to him, it's not right to do so, for we will sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what's an abomination to the Egyptian before their eyes, will they not stone us? Here's what he was saying. We're gonna animal sacrifice. That's an abomination to you. Here's what he was saying. The way we worship our God is abominable in your eyes. That's why God's taking us into the wilderness so we can worship the God in the full way that he wants us to worship without distraction. We're not trying to distract you. We're just gonna worship our God in the fullness of who he calls us to be. So let us go. Let us go into the wilderness. If we stay here, your people will stone us just for worshiping God. Isn't it interesting? What God calls true worship offends the people that don't know the true God. Always is true. It says we must go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. I'll let you go. Just don't go too far. Just pray for me. Get these flies out of here. So that's what he says. Then Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from the people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice the Lord. I'll pray for you. The flies will leave, but just don't be lying to me again. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. Not one fly remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time and he did not let the people go. You see what's going on here? Pharaoh's looking for relief, not repentance. Pharaoh doesn't want to serve the one true God. He's been given sign after sign after sign after sign that the God of the Bible is the God he needs to bow his knee to and serve. And he's like, nah, I'm not doing that yet. Now you may sit here this morning and be like, what a goofball. What an idiot. There are many of you who come to Brave Church who month after month and year after year come, who have refused to serve the living God after he's shown you over and over and over again that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Why not make today the day that you repent and give your whole heart to him? Why not come into a relationship with him and be one of his courageous kingdom ambassadors, one of his warriors for his great name? Why not be used of him to help the oppressed? Why not be used of him to confront the oppressor? Why not be used of him to call people to repent? Why not be used of him to trust God in his timing through you to do everything he wants to do? See, this story is not just about history. This story is not just about Pharaoh not repenting. This story is about many of us who say that we're called by the name of Jesus who still refuse to repent. Please do not go into eternity thinking that because you prayed some lame prayer that you're going to heaven. People that go to heaven are people who have turned their hearts to the living God. You're not going to stand before Jesus and say, well, yeah, but remember that date I prayed that lame prayer? I didn't mean any of it, but I prayed those magic words, and aren't I coming in? And you'll hear this: depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You never gave your heart to me. You never wanted me. You were offended by the full truth of who I am. I'm asking you to come. Why not make today the day you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not make today the day that you don't harden your heart? Why don't you make today the day the Lord can speak directly to you? Amen? That's what he wants. See, he wants you to go all in with him, and then he wants us as a family of God to go on the offensive in radical love for him and in radical love for the world, being truth tellers that are filled with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The way we're gonna end our service today is we're gonna take communion, but before we do, I want you to hear this song sung over you. It's a very famous hymn in the history of the church, Be Thou My Vision. Why not let the Lord Jesus be the vision of your life? Why not let Jesus be the one who is ruling and reigning in your heart? I'm gonna pray for us, and I want you to hold these elements in your hand. Then our campus pastors will come forward after the singing of this song, and we'll take the elements together as a family. Father in heaven, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for who you are and for all that you're doing. And God, we just come before you in repentance. Lord, for those areas in our life that we are not submitted and surrendered to you. God, we want to turn our hearts back to you. Transform us, make us new, not because of anything we're going to do for you, but because of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be our vision, Lord. Do a work in and through our hearts, we pray. In the mighty and matchless name of Christ, amen and amen.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and a lesson titled Courageous Kingdom Advancement. And if you're listening today and you'd like to take that next step with Christ and become a member of God's kingdom, we'd love to talk with you and help you work through any questions you might have. Call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. Or email us, hello@bravechurch.co. You can always find today's lesson and previous lessons from our current study in Exodus at bravemedia.online. And by the way, you can also access Pastor Jeff's sermon series conveniently from your phone by downloading the Brave Church app. With this free faith-building app, you'll be equipped with Pastor Jeff's custom sermon notes and be able to share your prayer requests with our prayer team. Just open up your app store and search for Brave Church Denver. We would love to pray for you. And here at Brave, it's our mission and passion to share the good news of Jesus Christ with as many new listeners as we can. We invite you to join us in this gospel outreach by making a donation of any amount. Your financial gift, big or small, helps us continue reaching new listeners with the life-giving truth of God's Word. You can give today by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. To send a check in the mail, address the envelope to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're listening from anywhere in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Visit either of our campuses in Englewood and Westminster, or join us remotely through our live stream. You'll find more details on services here at Brave at bravemedia.online. Go to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. I'm Bill Carl. That's all of our time for now. But join us tomorrow for the start of a new message from Pastor Jeff about how to become a courageous warrior for God. Don't miss the next part of our study in Exodus tomorrow on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.